This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. And Sean Bellent may or may not be with us. And Jennifer, we're all going to find out together if Sean is with us. Sean?
No.
Sean must be having a technical difficulty, or two. Perhaps he'll be getting connected with us here.
It does happen.
There he is. There he is. Hey, you must be outside. I hear a wind chime.
You know what? I was afraid of that. I may have to.
No. We like the ambience. You know what Tito used to always say when we would be at a ball game and the fans would be rowdy and raucous and they would turn around to Terry and they would say, we'll try to be quiet. He would say, absolutely not. You be as loud as you would normally be. The ambience lets people know we're there, baby.
Well, that's what I love when we go to Nokomis. I don't know if the secret's gotten out, but I don't weigh 132 pounds.
What?
And in the Nokomis mud, the folding chair did not hold up to my Henry VIII-like ways. And we backed up to the bleachers, and then there were people in the bleachers. It's like, this is great. It's like we're right, kind of like Harry Carey and Jack Buck. In the bleachers at Old Bush.
You know, that's always one of the things about the spring sport sometimes, for baseball and softball specifically. The crowds maybe aren't the best just because of the time of day the game is played. But, man, when you see the folks out there, there's nothing like a baseball and a softball crowd on a beautiful day. And, Sean, we finally had good weather this week in terms of temperatures to play some ball.
You know, it really is, and it's a unique dynamic too, because you go to basketball and, well, the basketball court's a DMZ. It's a demilitarized zone separating the fans usually. And, here it's, of course, usually the, you don't really see fans get at each other, all that much in any sport, at least up here, but you definitely see it less in baseball. But it's interesting, the fan base is usually about 50 feet apart. Once in a while, you see them mingling with each other, but not all that often. And it just makes for a nice, intimate environment.
Coming up later on here in the program, we're talking Staunton softball with their head coach, Jennifer Auburn. We're going to catch up with Southwestern baseball coach Brian Hanslow about 9:30 this morning as the Piasaw Birds. They will be playing a doubleheader today. They'll be getting underway at 11 o'clock this morning, taking on the Pretzels of New Berlin. Sean, couple of things here. Obviously, Reed Detmers pitched last night. We're going to get into that here as the show moves along. He got burned by the shift, Sean. He got burned by that stupid shift. I'm tired of the shift. We're going to talk about, we know when we get into Jennifer's gripes segment, I got one. It has nothing to do with the Cardinals or the Cubs. It has to do with the overshifting in baseball. But we'll get to that a little bit later. Reed gave up just 2 runs last night, but did take the loss. But Sean, Roger Crotteville sent me the score. His grandson Luke plays for Pawnee. New Berlin beat Pawnee 11-3 last night, and there was an interesting situation that happened in the ball game. And the beauty of baseball, right? You never know, something could happen that you've never seen before, or just something that is so rare that it occurs, but it always catches your attention when it does. I guess last night there was a situation where the batter, a good pitch in on the hands, the ball hit his hand, which was on the bat, and it wound up a fair ball. And so the question was, what do you think, live ball or dead ball? And I've always grown up hearing that your hand is part of the bat. So with that line of thinking, I would say fair ball. But I've also seen plenty of times where a batter will get hit on the hand and they give them their base. So I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, that's when you really get into the rule book. Yeah, I know it. That's a tough call. I think I never thought about it in a deeper way, but I guess if I was sitting there, and again, I'm not sitting there looking at the rule book, I'd almost say, okay, if it drove him off the plate and he got hit on the hands, basically getting away, yeah, that's one thing. But if you're if you're leaning out over the plate and your hands get hit, I kind of, yeah. I know it doesn't work that way. It doesn't have an elastic clause, but I kind of look at getting hit on the hands that way.
But
I never really, you know, it's been a while. It's been a while since I really gave that much thought.
Hicks, I mean, the hand is part of the bat, so they say. So if the hand is part of the bat, if it hits your hand, it should either be, if it's in play and fair, it's a fair ball. Or if it goes foul, it should probably be a strike. But that generally I don't feel is how it is ruled. Like if that ball hadn't gone fair, if it would have hit him in the hand and been foul, would they have called it a strike? You know, is it ruled a strike then, or would it have been a hit batter and he takes first base? I ask because I don't know. You know?
That's a good question. You know, that I have to give all the credit in the world to those guys. I mean, work the plates and the bases, because that is such a rule book you have to ingest. And again, a plain surface and a ball that, you know, can do things in that sport that don't happen in others.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the old line, you might see something you've never seen before, and I guess you can chalk that one up. Because Roger Crotterville, he's seen about as much baseball as anybody, and that one had him a bit flummoxed. And if it's got Roger flummoxed, you and I have no shot, John. Hate to tell you.
No, I throw in the towel now. I throw myself at the mercy of the baseball court.
But it was we alluded to it a moment ago, but just finally good weather. And the game of baseball and softball, really, you know, when we talk to our soccer coaches, the wind is no good for the soccer. But those cold temperatures is just not how baseball and softball is meant to be played. And I think you'll definitely see the quality of the game rise as the temperatures do.
Boy, there's no doubt about it. I have to think it's got to make it so much easier to pitch in particular. Looser, your arms looser, and yeah. And there's just the teams, you know, those teams that chat a lot and rah-rah in the dugout are just a little louder, and everything kind of comes to life. And just the atmosphere, everything's better. It's kind of like a TV switching from the old box to HD. It's a more lively experience, kind of like the wind chimes.
I love the wind chimes. I really enjoy them. Hey, back to the
rules.
You know, if I knew what I was doing, I would have stayed on this before transitioning back to the weather. But I was thinking about the Cardinal game. I think it was down in Miami when there was a hit batter, and the umpire didn't call it a hit by pitch at first. They reviewed it, and it hit his foot, so he got his base. But it looked like he kind of stuck his foot out, you know, didn't try to get out of the way of the pitch as much as he tried to take himself into the pitch, and he got awarded first base. And I saw it one time in a high school game, and it happened two times in the same game where a batter got hit, but the home plate umpire deemed that he did not try to get out of the way of the pitch, and in fact, intentionally tried to get hit with the pitch, so he kept him in the batter's box.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm all for that. I understand doing whatever it takes to, you know, get players on the base paths, trying to win the game, you know, win it ugly, whatever it takes. That's great. But yeah, if you encourage that kind of stuff, I mean, boy, the game could get real rotten real quick.
I was at would have been a 12U game last summer. And there's some, how should we put it, some intense coaches when you see some of these teams around. But this third base coach is screaming at the top of his lungs for this 12-year-old kid, take one for the team. It was like, you know, a hard fastball, like, take it for the team. It's like, I don't think so, coach. I'm out.
No.
You take it for the team. How about that? It's like minor surgery. It's only minor surgery to the person not on the table. Like, you want me to wear it? You wear it. That thing hurts.
You know, yeah, that thing's, you know, that thing's part of the learning process and part of strategy. Hey, you know, there's all the time in the world. Unlike mastering a curveball or mastering control or...
Well, you know, and getting hit, Sean, it is an art, right? Think about Fernando Vina back in the day. That dude, He would do that, but he never got hit solid, and he wore no armor.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, if you think that's part of the game, hey, that's something they can learn at 16 or 17.
Right.
You don't need 12-year-olds getting, you know. I still remember when I got hit. Oh, my gosh. I was like red, like over like 20% of my body. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. You healed, though.
Seemed like it. And,
you got better.
Oh, yeah. And hey, that guy was good, too.
Well, he's probably in the big leagues, isn't he?
Well, you know what? I tell you what, he had big league potential.
That's right. A kid
named Jeff Elsing, and he played some pretty good ball at SIUE, and I think he broke his wrist or something, and probably would have had a pretty good trip up the minor leagues before that.
Everyone's got big league potential. There's a funny story about Bryce Harper, like when he was in sixth grade, they had to write like an essay, like what they wanted to do when they grew up. And he put he wanted to be a big league ball player. And his teacher said, you know, Bryce, you probably want to come up with something more realistic. And every kid in the class to a person said, no, he's going to be a big league player. He's that good. And, you know, just a few years later, there he was. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Coming up, we're going to catch up with Staunton softball coach Jen Albert. Also going to catch up with Southwestern baseball coach Brian Hanslow when Sports Saturday rolls on.
20 minutes after 9 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Thank you to some of the Sports Saturday sponsors. Without them, we wouldn't be bringing you this program every week. They include Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. Right now, we rejoin WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
All right, Jennifer, thank you very much. Back here on Sports Saturday. Going to catch up with Jen Albert here in just a moment. Brian Hanslow with Southwestern Baseball will be on the way about 9:30. Cardinal Baseball for you this afternoon, 2:15, with the pregame coverage on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9. And 92.9. Of course, you can always keep up with all the scores from around the area on the WSMI scoreboard at WSMIRadio.com. Podcasts of all of our high school sporting events available on the web as well. And we'll be current. I'll have all the games from this past week up on the website by noon today. Sean, you had a couple of broadcasts this week, and we had a heck of a baseball game on the radio last night as Gillespie beat Carletonville by the final of 3-2. And when you start talking and looking at baseball in the South Central Conference, there is a lot of parity, a lot of nice talent in the South Central Conference this year on the baseball side.
Boy, that was a fun broadcast to listen to, too. I mean, just a back and forth dogfight and, rivalries are a beautiful thing. And, I'd call it compelling theater yesterday. And yeah, you just, and these teams, boy, when they face each other, it doesn't matter what the score is. They're fighting till the bitter end of a game.
You know, speaking of compelling theater, nothing compels folks quite like offense. And the Staunton Lady Bulldogs on the softball side, they have no shortage of that. Their head coach, Jennifer Albert, joins us on Sports Saturday right now. And, Coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And, boy, is it nice to talk when we got beautiful softball weather finally.
Finally, we got – yesterday I told the girls yesterday it was the first day that we actually had nice softball weather. Mm. So it was wonderful to welcome in.
Well, your bats were ready, scoring 9 runs yesterday. And your offense up and down the lineup, you can hit it.
Yeah, actually, I was just telling them yesterday, we were talking, and we were kind of in a slump there for a little bit at the beginning of the season, but it's so hard to get into a groove of, you know, with all these rainouts and everything, so inside practices didn't help at all either, but we're actually now starting to hit and throughout the entire lineup, so it's great.
Well, Coach, I know those extra inning losses, they can send teams the wrong way and put you into a funk, but it just seems like that tough loss against Carletonville in extra frames, that the team just seemed to rally around the moment. I mean, from the outside looking in, it just seems like the team just is taking on a killer instinct and won't allow the big inning and just took their game to another level.
You know, one thing about my girls, and we talk about this quite a bit, is that they never give up. You know, the two losses that we have against one against Carrollton, you know, we were down 9-1 and came back and ended up being a 15-13 game that we lost. And then Carlinville game, rallying back and tying it and going into eight innings and losing it at the end as a non-conference game. But my girls, they never give up, and they're ready to play him again. So, now it's a good time for us to start playing as well as we are. So I'm excited about that.
Jennifer, you mentioned, you know, with the weather and kind of the slow start, you mentioned the indoor practice is basically useless. And, you know, just talk about the challenge that it presents when you just can't get on a diamond and work.
Well, I think the whole thing is the motivation. You know, there's only so much that you can do inside, you know, working on certain skills and grounders and stuff like that. And we've been hitting a lot in the cage inside, but, you know, it's just, I think the motivational part of it is, you know, getting the girls motivated to come in and practice for, you know, an hour and a half inside as to kind of, you know, get them motivated to do it. So that's kind of the hardest part, I think, for me, is trying to find, you know, the things to work on inside and to keep them to buy in into the program. So, but they've been doing a really good job with that. So,
you know, those girls walk inside the program to pick up a volleyball or a basketball.
Right. You know, it's just difficult, and there's only so much that you can do inside. You know, as far as like the outfielders, we struggle with, you know, certain things that we can work on for outfielders. There's more infield work that we do inside. So, yeah, it's hopefully this weather is breaking and we can be outside all the time now for the remainder of the season.
Well, Coach, I know you have some strong seniors in the mix, and certainly Whitney Weller fits the bill. Boy, a big spark plug. And I know we don't talk about the running game in stats maybe as much as we used to, but she seems to get it done on the base paths too.
Yeah, my three seniors, Whitney Weller, she's my leadoff. She's a fast, quick girl. We got Savannah Billings, we got Coral Keener. My three seniors providing a ton of leadership to my young team, because basically I have those three seniors, and then I have 13 underclassmen so coming up. And yeah, we've got speed on the bases throughout the entire lineup, so that works well.
And I guess it's nice to have that type of senior leadership in this type of season where there's kind of been some starting and a stopping. The younger kids can look to those senior leaders, not only, you know, off the field, but when they get on the field, they perform.
Right. And that's where the leadership comes in with those three. You know, I had a talk with them at the beginning of the season, you know, that we are going to be young and they're going to be our leaders. And they're providing a lot of information to the younger ones as far as, you know, cutoffs and helping them out with the fielding and different maybe at-bats of what they're doing, what they need help with. So they're doing a great job for me this year, and I'm really proud of them, so.
Well, and Coach, I know you know, we're not talking about teams sitting around watching video like Major League Baseball or anything, but I look at Savannah Billings going 4-for-4 in the last outing, another one of your three key seniors, and I have to think there's certainly a lot of athletic talent there, but it just sounds like really handling the mental part of the game well. Knowing what pitchers are doing, what have you.
Yeah, and that's basically what the girls, they do. They get up to the bat the first time, and they talk about it when they get back to the dugout about, you know, what to expect and what they're throwing, you know, as far as, like, the rise balls and so forth and what they like to pitch the first. So they really – the communication amongst the at-bats has helped also the younger ones. And
talking with Jennifer Arbor, the Staunton softball coach. And Jen, talk to me about your defense, because pitching wise, a lot of balls in play. You know, you don't necessarily have the high volume strikeout pitchers, so you know the ball is going to be in play. You got to pick it.
Yeah, defensively, I'll tell you what. No matter who I have pitching, my defense I feel like is pretty solid. I can move people different spots, and usually it's on my left side of my my infield outfield area. But right now I'm going with I have four total pitchers, and two of them are freshmen. One's a sophomore, and then the other one's a senior. So I'm kind of basically using my two freshmen and my sophomore starting off pitching, and then I'm kind of working it that way, and then bringing Bills in to finish it off. So that's kind of what we talked about doing. But it seems like my defense is pretty solid at this point in time.
Well, Coach, you know, you talked about having so many young players. I know that's the interesting thing about sports. You're out there playing for today and tomorrow at the same time. And I look at this recent performance by Taylor Nolan, 3-for-4. And it's one thing to get on and get hits, but to deliver with the runners in scoring position and getting those key RBIs across, that's not a kid playing like a sophomore.
Right. Yeah, she's done very well for me. She's been the last few games been exploding it with the bat. I had moved her down to the fifth spot, and sometimes I kind of do that for a reason, and then bring him back up. And I'll tell you what, she's really performing for me as a sophomore, and she does not play like a sophomore. She plays more like a senior. So she's doing a lot of great things for the team as far as bringing in the RBIs and as well as the rest of them. I mean, we feel like we're all hitting at the right time. So, doing a great job for us.
Jim, before we let you go, what's your schedule look like coming up next week?
Next week we've got North Mac, Litchfield, North Green, and Southwestern. So we got two conference games next week. So it's going to be a busy week. And the week after that is going to be three conference games. So we've got the next 2 weeks is pretty busy. But my girls are ready for it, and we're hopefully this weather holds out and we can finish in some warm weather. So
absolutely. Jennifer Albert, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and, hey, good luck here down the stretch.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, that is Staunton softball coach Jennifer Albert joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Going to catch up with Southwestern baseball coach Brian Hansel here in just a moment on WSMI. Remember, Cardinal baseball coming up, 215, FM 106.9, 92.9, and WSMI AM 1540. But, yeah, Sean, the Staunton sticks alive and well on the softball side.
Yeah, I mean, they are just getting production throughout the lineup. And, it's something. And again, like you said, defense and pitching, even with that young pitching staff, I mean, they're really bolting down in that regard. You're not getting that big inning with 3, 4, 5 runs. You're going to have to fight for every run against the Bulldogs.
The Southwestern Piasaw Birds, they will be hosting a doubleheader coming up this morning, taking on the Pretzels of New Berlin, and their head coach Brian Hanslow getting set to join us here on Sports Saturday. Of course, Coach Hanslow, the newly minted athletic director at Southwestern as well. And I say newly minted, Sean, you know, I think it's been about a year now, but what is time, really?
Yeah, I mean, really, it's like Buck Rogers. We're in suspended animation during this whole, I realize we're kind of coming out of the COVID thing for the moment, but the sense of time is just, has been completely lost the last 2 years.
Oh, it's just gone. And joining us on the phone right now is Brian Hanslow. And Coach Sean and I were just talking about how we have no conception of time, because I said, Coach Hanslow, also the newly minted athletic director of Southwestern, and I thought, wait a minute, he's been that for like a year.
Yeah, it's only been 1 year, that's for sure.
Longest year of your life?
It's been quite a challenge this spring, no doubt about it. But it's getting along. But I'm just glad it's a Saturday. Everything's done. Nothing's going to change. The sun's out. So We're going to play ball here at Snyder Park today.
Hey, beautiful day for baseball, and you will play too. And it's just nice. You alluded to it. This is baseball weather. It's not a cold weather game.
It's fine. Last night we played over at Hillsboro. It was very windy, but it was at least the temperatures were great. And today is going to be the same thing. It's quite windy. I just got done mowing the infield, got the field lined up, and we're ready to roll. The battle of the mascots today. The Piasaw Birds versus the Pretzels.
That is a solid mascot matchup right there.
Yes, it is.
First off, that's got to be a tough mascot uniform to wear a giant pretzel. But I'll tell you what, Coach, and pardon me for providing a hint of the kind of wins you're going to deal with today, but I look at this last contest. Six different
players
contributing.
The wind's been brutal today, but... I mean, I'm pretty green right now from mowing. I push mowed because it's too wet to get anything on their field still in the grass.
Push mowed? Oh, my gosh. You push mowed the whole infield?
I push mowed every year. That's my exercise. That's what I could tell my wife. That's my exercise.
There you go.
Twice a week. So, I enjoy it. That's my time. That's my time to think about the season. And I take pride in our field and I do push mow it because it does look better than putting a riding lawnmower on it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't push mow the outfield.
Oh, I'm come on now. No half measures, Brian.
That might take me 24 hours and a lot of Diet Pepsi.
I'll name the fifth starter before I grab the weed trimmer.
Yeah.
But, Brian, talk to me.
Well, Coach,
go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, sorry about that. I just look at your lineup then. The last game, six RBI contributors. That speaks volumes about the team concept. And just doing the math, I have to think the bottom of the order contributes.
Yeah, we're kind of right now, we're kind of the young guns. We got a lot of sophomores playing. We got a few seniors and a few juniors. But we're mainly sophomores and one freshman. And it's everybody, different guy every night. And that's what we need. I mean, we don't have that guy that's going to do it every night. So the more we can get contributing from all parts of our lineup, the better we're going to be. Hitting right now, that's our biggest thing we're working on. It's not been very consistent, but it has come through when we needed it. And our pitching staff's done a great job so far this spring.
Brent, you've built your baseball program on the fundamentals of the game. And when you have a young team like you have this year, that becomes even more important.
Yes, it is. And it's been trying me a little bit. The last two games, we've started out the first two innings making some routine play errors, and it drives the old coach a little bit insane. But every time I take a deep breath and say, some of these kids are young, but we got to learn and get better from it. And so far it hasn't bit us. So, fundamentals is thing. We don't have Division I players. We don't have many college players. So we got to do things the right way, and we can't beat ourselves.
Well, I guess you either run laps or grab the push mower as punishment when things go wrong. Just kidding. But I look at the youth being served on this club, and, gosh, Colin Lamar comes on, and, just impresses in that last go-round.
Yeah, he pitched a lot for us last year as a freshman, and we knew kind of coming into the season we were going to have to count on him a lot. He plays baseball 12 months a year, so, I mean, he's ready to go. He's put a lot of time into the game, and he's done a good job for us. I mean, last night in the first inning, he got hit by a pitch in the right tricep as a right-handed hitter. I have not seen that ever before, but... You know, and then he had to go pitch. And I was a little worried about it because he's got a nice shiner here this morning on that arm. And it was tightening up on him, and he toughed it out. He showed me a lot of courage yesterday for a young kid. And, you got to commend him on that. But he got his feet wet last year. I think of him as a junior, not a sophomore right now, just because he got a lot of experience last year.
Well, Brian, you've been around high school athletics long enough to know that freshmen contributing at the varsity level, that's an exception. I think, though, in baseball, it is certainly a lot more doable because you kind of alluded to it. There's so much travel ball, so much select play that some of these freshmen that come in, they're not freshmen from an experience standpoint and a competition level standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, and I coach this high school summer team. You know, I use that summer as our spring training. And, you know, I coach them in middle school. I know what these guys can do when they get here. And I kind of see when they're in seventh and eighth grade where they're fitting the puzzle when they get up here. And, you know, some guys got to switch some positions from year to year to fit our puzzle. But, you know, knowing them in seventh grade until they're seniors, it does help. And I know what they can do, what they can't do. And a lot of our guys do play in the summer, and it helps us a lot.
Well, look, Ryan Lewis really delivered for you guys.
Yeah, Ryan, last night he had the big hit with the bases loaded. And for a freshman, you know, he's not a very talkative young man. But he did get a big hit, and I talked to him. They switched pitchers, and they had a mound visit. And I said, you know, he just walked that last guy. I said, he's going to groove you something. You got to be ready for it. Don't be nervous. Don't be anything like that. He brings you a fastball, take it right back through the middle, and he did that last night. And, you know, we've been sparingly put him in and out. He's been kind of our DH and one of our pitchers, played in the field a little bit. We're just kind of edging him in, getting his feet wet, and he came through last night for us.
Brian, we came on the air talking about a rules question. I'm going to ask you, put you on the spot here with this rules analysis, okay? Last night in the New Berlin Pawnee game, a New Berlin batter got hit on the hands, ball rolls past first base, ruled a fair ball. Now, I have heard that the hand is part of the bat, but I have also seen plenty of times where a person gets hit on the hand and they're rewarded first base. Can you explain this to me?
Your hand on a swing is part of the bat. So if the ball goes in fair, it should be. Now, this is all umpires' judgment. So you're going to get 100 umpires, and you might get 50 of each. Yeah. Now, I've seen kids hit on the hand, and they say take your base. But on a swing, your hand is part of the bat. So if it stayed in fair, even though it hit your hand, you're swinging. It's the same thing if you would let loose of the ball of the bat, like lose the grip, and make contact, it goes in fair, it's still a base hit.
Oh, boom. Sean, this is why we have people like Brian Hanslow on. Laid it out right there. I understood that. That made sense to me.
Oh, that was beautiful.
It's still the umpire's judgment, and you just have to go with the umpires say. And you can't be mean to the umpires. There's not enough of them. I'll tell you that as the first time AD.
Yes.
And I'm ready to start hiring my 2024 umpires next week.
Hey, Coach Locke always said, you get more flies with honey than vinegar. Yelling at the refs don't do you no good. It's not going to get you a call. If anything, it's going to work against you.
Especially in baseball. The minute you chirp from the dugout, next pitch is a ball.
Yeah.
It happens every time. If the umpire doesn't call a ball, he's not a very good umpire, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I saw, boy, the worst case scenario, I saw a piece on Channel 5 out of St. Louis the other day, and not only the Missouri high schools on that side of the river canceling a number of ball games because of lack of umpires, but a bunch of one-man crews, and of course, that really isn't proper grammar because one man isn't a crew, but I guess that's one of the nightmare scenarios you look at. A guy working the plate is working the whole game.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more of that. There's no doubt about it. You look at the average age of our umpires, it's not young kids by any means. And it's sad. And there are more teams, and, you know, the bigger schools have 3 and 4 teams. And when you have that many games, we just don't have the people to cover it. And now we have a lot of youth programs starting up, especially here now in April and May. And a lot of them youth are going to play more than a school district for an umpire, and they got a time limit. So if I'm an umpire and I really don't want to be there all day, am I going to go to a game for an hour and 40 minutes with the time limit and make more money, or am I going to go to a high school game? That's the choice some guys are making now, and the numbers are just not out there. I mean, any young kid that would like to be an umpire or any official, talk to your local AD. We have vouchers for free registration. We can help you set that up, but we need a ton of them. I mean, any young guy, and you don't have to start off at the varsity level. You can do JV games, you know, if you're a little bit nervous. And especially newer guys, as me as a coach, I'm not going to yell at a new umpire. He's trying. Last week in Freeburg, we had a guy, he's a first-year umpire. Was the quality there? No. But he was giving his best effort, and that's all we could ask. And our kids adjusted. We knew it wasn't going to be good after the first couple innings, but that's all you can do. And I commend him for going out there and trying to get better each every pitch.
And you know, Brian, we're never going to get the new umpires if coaches, if they are harassed in their, you know, their early stages, and they're going to screw this, I'm done.
Not for $65 or $70 a game. Would you want to get harassed at your job for that much money every day? No.
No.
I wouldn't.
No.
I mean, even as a coach, you don't want that. And, I mean, fans got to realize that. And if they don't, it's really going to get sad. And all it's going to do is punish the kids.
Yeah.
They're not going to get to play. And that's what this game's all about, for the kids.
That's
every umpire I know, they're all for here. They're here for the kids. Whether it's cold, rainy, wet, whether it's a rain delay, whether it's switching sites, the umpires are great to work with, and every one of them has the kids' interests, their best interests in mind.
That's exactly right. 1,000% agree. And, you know, thinking of, like, the basketball side, when I started here at the station, you know, 17 years ago or whatever, Jeremy Smith was the young guy. Here we are, fast forward 17 years, he's still the young guy. That's the problem.
That is the major problem. I just talked to Jeremy last night, and I talk to him quite often. And, you know, it's sad that he is the young guy. And he's not going to do it much longer either. His daughter is getting into the middle school age, and he doesn't want to miss it. So we might lose one of our so-called young guys, you know. That's the situation we're in right now.
Yeah, it's a problem. Brian, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Fantastic stuff. And, you know, Terry Tote would have said, that's what freshmen are for when it comes to push mowing.
Yeah, I'm not that mean. I'm still a pretty nice guy.
That's why your numbers are up.
That's right.
Brian, thank you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Tim.
All right, thank that's Brian Hanslow, the head coach of the Piasaw Birds. John, you want to talk about one of the great people around high school and really middle school athletics, Brian Hanslow. There aren't many better. Use the old Tony La Russa line, tied for first.
I'm telling you, that, and just hearing the interview, just how fun and honest he is, it's like, it reminds me of, you know, the kind of managers used to be in the big leagues where you just had fun listening to them, and of course they had a lot less post-game content, and whether it's Whitey or Lasorda, I just love that shoot from the hip, and just passionate about everything he says.
Well, and he cleared up the rule to me, so if you swing and it hits your hand, that's a swing. If you don't swing and it hits your hand, you get the base. Boom.
Yeah. Talk about knowing the game. I'll tell you what, I was going to tack one more thing, too, on that umpire conversation, and I tell people to talk to their kids about it, like, now, I umpired for a summer, and I was terrible. I also didn't get paid for every game, but I didn't know about small claims court back then. But anyway, I won't name names. The thing with umpiring, and again, I remember, like, a lot of little leaguers getting into junior high and high school would call the little league games. I have to think that getting ready for the real world, umpiring can be an incredibly beneficial thing for a young person. You learn how to diffuse situations. You learn that not everybody's going to be nice. And, you know, when to push back. I just think you learn a lot of stuff from umpiring. Now, I learned one thing from my summer of umpiring. I had no business being an umpire.
Lesson learned. But, you know, Terry Tote always talked about athletics is just another classroom and, you know, life lessons. You hear coaches talk about that all the time, teaching the life lessons, you know, teaching these kids to be good adults moving forward. And, youth umpiring is the same way. It teaches you a certain skill set that will come in handy down the road. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, Jennifer's gripes when Sports Saturday rolls on.
9:52 right here at FM 106. Thank you to Sports Saturday sponsors, and they include Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Huff & Sons Funeral Home in Raymond, Hillsboro and Farmersville, and Mark Stern, your State Farm agent in Litchfield. Once again, with WSMI Sports Saturday, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Belent.
All right, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much. Of course, you can always get scores at WSMIRadio.com. Also, podcasts of all of our live high school sporting events as well, WSMIRadio.com. We'll have the broadcast schedule, all these for you on the website as well. We got softball and baseball scheduled for Monday and Tuesday of next week, and I think Friday as well. You can always find the broadcast schedule, WSMIRadio.com. Now, Cardinal baseball today, 2:15 with the pregame coverage, FM 106.9, 92.9, and WSMI AM 1540. And John, Jennifer's gripes, it's a better working segment when the Cardinals aren't playing fantastic, because not even Jennifer can come up with much to gripe about the Cardinals right now. You got anything, Jen?
No, not really.
How about that?
I mean, nah, I can't really complain.
Goodness gracious, that can't really complain. Rack that and have that ready to roll 3 weeks from now. Nothing to complain
about.
Go to
church, the end times are near.
That's right. But, Sean, I do have a gripe. I am tired of the analytical over-shifting. And when I saw the base hit last night that scored two runs off of Reed Detmers, Reed's reaction, he turns around, thinks, ground ball to second base, no one there, puts his hands up and just, are you kidding me? And I would much rather, as a pitcher, give up a rocket right up the middle that's been a base hit for 150 years, but now there's a shortstop. He fields it, and boom, you're out. I would much rather have that be into center field than a base hit than the ball last night that winds up in right field as a base hit. How many times do you see it? Right to where the second baseman should be. Right to where the shortstop should be. Right where the third baseman used to play. And there's no one within 50 feet. I am over the shifts. They shift on every single person. Like, everyone's not Big Poppy.
Yeah, I don't like it. I just think, third baseman has a general set of territory, the shortstop, second baseman. I mean, if you allowed this in other sports, in hockey, we're just going to go with five forwards. And, in football, I mean, what are you going to have? 11, you're going to allow 11-man defensive line or have a running quarterback and 10 offensive linemen? No, you designate areas. Hey, you can only have this kind of player in this territory, and that's it. We can't have, and if you want to put the offensive lineman in the backfield, you got to say it. You want him to be an eligible receiver, you got to say it. You can't have this kind of madness with guys freelancing. If
Sean,
you want to do that,
can you imagine
softball with 10 guys?
Can you imagine Game 7 of the World Series, two outs, bottom of the ninth, and you lose because the ball was hit where the second baseman should have been? Can you imagine if the World Series is ever lost on that? And maybe that's when it'll start to change, you know? Maybe that's the only way that people will start to realize, okay, while we have the numbers, old Abner, when he invented this game, he put the people where he put them for a reason. And if you want to shade people, obviously, you know, each circumstance is different. But it's just automatic at the big league level. Anybody comes up, and it's just this supreme shift. Guy's hitting 175 in the big leagues. Maybe you don't need to shift him.
Yeah. Yeah, the game's built a certain way. And, again, I mean, you know, there are things we have. Illegal defense in basketball, legal screen and other things. You just have – you have to play certain limitations out there. You shouldn't be able to do certain things. Otherwise, you know, otherwise the game is just cheap. And you're like – arena football or something.
And the reaction to the pitchers, it's the same every time. They think, okay, hey, I made a good pitch. I jammed the crap out of that guy. And it's a base hit into right field or where the shortstop should have been. It's no good.
Yeah, it really is. It's an ugly look. It's like, it's something's got to be fixed, but you know what? The guy in charge isn't going to fix it.
Well, no.
I think it's going away next year, but who knows what's going to happen.
And it'll be interesting to see. And it was a slow transition, right? Because there's always been defensive alignments. Hey, we're going to shade this guy into right center field. Hey, this guy likes, you know, he hits the ball the opposite way. So you got to be aware of that. But somewhere along the line, the second baseman started playing in short right field and the shortstop's playing second base and the third baseman's behind the second base bag. It's like, it just snowballed so quickly to me where all of a sudden it just got to the point where it's unacceptable in my view, where you see these base hits that just shouldn't be base hits. If you hit a rocket right up the middle, that's a hit. I'm sorry. And when the shortstop's there, nice play. Your analytics worked. That's great. But that is not as good of a feeling as it is a bad feeling when the jam shot right to the second baseman winds up in right field and scores two.
I'm with you. The shot of the box is what the game of baseball is built around. You know, the excitement. Can the shortstop or the second baseman get to the ball?
Think about Ozzy. He would get that ball, but he'd run 30 feet, dive, pop up, and throw you out.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine Jack Buck making the call? Hey, look here. Here's a ball no one else could get to, and the Wizard's going to come up with, oh, no.
He was positioned beautifully.
Fell, crashed into him because of the shift.
And, you know, I guess you alluded to it. They supposedly are going to eliminate the shifts. I have no confidence in baseball to do this properly. They can't do anything right. So, you know, they supposedly put in a rule a few years ago where the batters couldn't step out of the box. That doesn't get enforced. They talk about this pitch clock in the minor leagues. They won't enforce that at the big league level. They'll never do it.
Yeah, I mean, they do this show business stuff for a while, and kind of like when you put all the pitchers through TSA and practically strip searched to make sure they weren't using that substance.
Yes.
Then you go around the majors, and then hitters say, you know what? I kind of want that guy to use a substance. Otherwise, I'm going to wind up on the DL, and I refuse to call it the IL. It will always be the DL.
It will always be the DL. Boy, Sean, we're like a couple old men. Get off my lawn. You stay off my grass. Get out of here. Hey, thanks.
Manfred has advanced the aging process for a lot of baseball fans.
It has. Thanks to Jennifer Albert, Staunton softball coach, Brian Hanslow, Southwestern baseball coach, for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. For Jennifer Graham and Sean Belint, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville.